One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Whatever you're wearing right now, Mack Weldon is better. It's a fact. Mack Weldon, you know them. They've been sponsoring our podcast for a while. It's the essential men's brand that believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. A brand that appeals to people like James Bond. What? Guys, I'm doing this ad on my own because Matt's in the Alps right now. But you know what he's doing in the Alps? Probably wearing Mack Weldon underwear. In fact, I'd almost guarantee it. Mack Weldon's great. If you haven't been on the site, check it out. It's an easy shopping experience. There's even a Vesper polo. It's baby blue. So you tell me where they got that from. Oh, I'll tell you. Probably James Bond. Guys, try it out. I recommend the silver underwear and shirts. They are naturally antimicrobial, which means they eliminate odor. And listen, Mack Weldon wants you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair, keep it, and they'll still refund you. No questions asked. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off using the promo code BONDING. You sick and tired of the same old athletic clothing? I know I am. I had the same Nike shorts for 4 years, and quite frankly, they were done. You know what I needed? Vuori. That's right, Vuori. They bring a fresh perspective to performance apparel. Design's modern, and it doesn't look or feel like my old gym clothes or your old gym clothes. It's all very comfortable, and it fits pretty well, actually. It's cut just the right way so that I don't feel super self-conscious. Perfect for running, hiking, or training. Pretty much anything you want to do, they're great for. Even a weekend in the town. Maybe you walk over to some sort of sandwich shop. Maybe you're going to go grab a coffee. But you're like, oh, I don't want to wear my gym clothes. But if you're wearing some Vuori athletic clothing, you'll be like, oh, I'm going to wear it. And now Vuori's offering a special deal to all our listeners. You can get 25% off your first purchase when you head to Vuori. That's Vuori clothing.com. And you use the promo code BONDING at checkout. Here's the show.
James Bonding podcast with Matthews, Myra, and Gorley. Matthews, Gorley, and Myra podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome to James Bonding. I'm Matt.
And I'm Matt as well. Good morning, everybody.
Oh, good morning. It's that special time of year when Matt and I like to record this podcast from separate rooms and
Sunday
houses.
Morning. We should be in church, but we're not.
We're in the church of James Bond, and thank you for worshiping with us, everyone.
I am a devout believer.
I believe in cold drink and warm love.
That's right.
Is that what he does? I don't know. I might be misinterpreting.
Warm love is both a pleasant and appalling term.
Warm love. This is an episode that we've been talking about doing for a long time. Matt, we made reference. I think we got really into it in about a month back when we did The World Is Not Enough, and we were discussing the ridiculousness of the Bond followed by him shooting the hydraulic whatever for the elevator as the place with the nuclear bomb was on fire.
Is it the only Bond, James Bond, where there's a task in between the name?
Well, 100%.
Sorry, if a you task don't count, completion.
Yeah, because, you know, he's always doing a task while he's saying it. But, you know what? It's not. The Dr. No One, he completes the task of lighting a cigarette.
Yeah, okay, yeah. The scale is a bit different, but okay.
Yeah, it's so, you know, he makes the pause in The World Is Not Enough where he fires the gun and then finishes his line. So that was such a ridiculous moment. We just were talking about these Bond to James Bond moments, and we were wondering, hey, what are the best ones? How many are there? So many questions.
Yeah, I was surprised to find there were a fair amount of films that don't include it.
Yeah, and I think from now on, those films should not be canon.
I know, they are hereby expelled, but that means, of course, we're losing one of your favorites and mine, From Russia with Love.
Oh, gone. Sorry, guys, not canon anymore.
Thunderball.
I'm okay losing that.
Quantum of Solace.
Oh, no.
And
that's going to be good. I can't wait to rewatch that one.
License to Kill's on the cutting room, on the edge there, because he gets cut off during his Bond, James Bond. So I guess, right. The, you know, A for effort.
The intent is there. He's going to do it, but no dice.
Oh, and You Only Live Twice as well.
He says it in You Only Live Twice.
He does?
He says it to the sumo wrestler.
But I think that's edited in that video we watched. Same with Quantum of Solace. There's a couple where they're just putting dubs in to make it seem like they're in that movie. It's actually...
Wait, you're saying it's not in that scene? You're saying that my brain inceptioned that into being real?
No, that clip that you just watched?
Yeah.
Puts it in, but I don't think it's actually in the film. Does that blow your mind?
You're like making me feel like I'm crazy.
I'm going to go to it right now and check.
Do you have
that
a digital
out.
Copy of that on your...
I sure do.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, but we'll keep talking while I'm checking it out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so Matt's going to go look up You Only Live Twice, because in the video, the YouTube video we're going to direct everyone to.
No,
so
not the one you
along.
Sent me. That one's solid, but the one I sent you has some... It seems like they're trying to do one for every film, even though it doesn't exist. Like they're kind of... But the one you sent me doesn't have You Only Live Twice.
It doesn't?
No.
Guys, you know, when you watch these James Bond YouTube videos together too closely, it really does all blend together into one thing that's real.
Forgive us.
Matt, I don't have video on you right now, but it's okay, because I have audio, and that's what's really important for a podcast.
I think it's because I've got my You Only Live Twice up right now, and I'm scanning
it. Oh, okay. Oh, no problem then.
I'm trying to remember when he goes to the sumo part.
Doesn't he? Well, I'll pull it up right now as far as I have it in this video. I will say that seeing Sean Connery through the years, it's fascinating, because the video that we are going to show everybody has Never Say Never Again in it, as well as Diamonds Are Forever.
Right.
And if you told me that those movies were 50 years apart, I'd believe you.
Yeah.
Because, quite frankly, the aging that happens is remarkable. And I got to say, his wig in Never Say Never Again, I feel like they really pulled back on the wig budget.
Yeah, I think it seems like that era alone, just wig tech somehow took a turn for the worse in the 70s. I don't quite know why.
I think it's because hair was so big, you know?
Yeah, you're right. Maybe that's true. And it was a little harder to pull it off convincingly. The bigger the wig, the faker it looks and the harder to fall.
It's so true. That's one of the oldest sayings. That's actually on Matt Gourley's family crest. The that's Gourley right. family crest is the bigger the hair, wig. The bigger the wig, the harder the fall.
Okay, I'm going to listen. Here's the scene right now. Hold on.
Okay. Matt's going to check out the first video we watched. Big thanks to Emily Schmemley, who tweeted yesterday asking for this video, and people responded in
that
kind.
That was me.
Oh, my God. You dusted off the account?
I sure
did. That's amazing, Matt. Yeah, I can't believe you still have access to such a thing.
Hell yeah. why can't I get my thing to play?
Maybe because you're FaceTiming and you're not allowed to do that?
It might be. Oh, wait. Be quiet for a second.
I'm being quiet. Okay.
Okay. What's happening? Here it is. I know you can't hear it, but I can. Okay, this is going to be worth it because we're...
Matt can hear
He doesn't say it. He just shakes the sumo wrestler's hand.
Oh, well.
Okay, so that's great the job. Official. If we have it now officially. There might be some films that do it more than once, but we're going to be talking about the primary one.
Yeah, so this is the video that we're going to watch to go along with this is going to be called Best of Bond, James Bond. And this is by a YouTube user by the name of
James
Jolly
Bond.
Wow. Jolly Rager. Jolly Rager. That's a great fucking YouTube name.
Yeah.
Way to go, Jolly Rager.
JR.
Who has 515 subscribers.
Not bad.
So maybe we can kick him up a notch. Let me see what else he's making here. A lot of things in Spanish, which I'm sure are great. Okay, so the Bond, James Bond, when you listen to them all together, they sound very inorganic. But spaced out, we're going to talk about each actor and their attempts at it. Matt, would you like to... How should we do this? Should we play them and then pause and talk about each one, or what would you like to do?
Yeah, that makes sense. Why not?
All right, so let's take a quick step in here. We're gonna visit first Dr. No, I believe.
Mm-hmm. I admire your courage, Miss...
Trench. Sylvia Trench. I admire your luck, Mr...
Bond. James Bond.
Okay.
All right. I'm not even going to lie. Like, that's the winner of them all. Spoiler. I mean, that is the best one. It's one of the greatest moments in cinema history.
I mean, everything about it is correct. You have a tuxedoed James Bond. You're mm-hmm. in a casino. Mm-hmm. He's just lit a cigarette, and then the music comes in.
You have never seen his face to this point either.
That's so true. What an introduction of a character.
Yeah. And it's teed off by Sylvia Trench, who raises that one arch eyebrow that's incredible.
I cannot get over how iconic that moment is and how wonderfully shot it is. It's amazing.
It never gets old. And no matter what we do, that's just my number one Bond, James Bond, by a mile. And the second one for me is even amazing, but that one's just incredible.
I don't think that we will ever, as human beings, feel as cool as that moment.
Yeah, like what are other of the coolest moments in film that do they come close? Like, what can you think of that's that cool?
Well, you know, I always have been partial to when Keanu Reeves says, "I know Kung Fu."
Oh boy.
In the Matrix. No, just me.
I mean, there's Indiana Jones shooting the Cairo swordsman. That's a pretty cool moment, but it's not as suave.
Yeah, no, it's not as suave.
It's purposefully reckless. What is as cool and suave as that? I don't know.
Well, I mean, think of iconic actors. So you got your think of Harrison Ford, Han Solo's introduction. As we know, pretty soon, by the time this podcast comes out, maybe everyone will have seen a Solo story, a Star Wars story. So maybe there's something in there that does it.
His "I know" moment in Empire Strikes Back is pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. But that's not an introduction. You need an introduction to a character.
Right.
Although, you know, what is the... In the Raiders, it pans down from the Paramount Mountain.
It's pretty... Right? It's kind of similar because you don't see his face for a while. And after that, his guy betrays him and he shoots the gun out of his hand. He steps into the light, and that's pretty good.
Yeah, that is very cool. And they were they were both such fans of Bond at that point anyway.
Right.
That maybe they were like, we need to do something here to one-up it.
Yeah.
And they did not. They missed. Guys, they failed.
Because it's untoppable, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's intoppable.
Also, it's the first time he's playing the role, and his delivery is so confident but not oversold. It is just... It just exists as a fact. Like, this is my name. And there's, why embellish it? It's already amazing. That's a problem some of them will suffer, especially in each actor's first one. You can feel the self-consciousness sometimes.
Well, I can't imagine having to deliver that line.
I know. Connery had the benefit of never, like, it wasn't a catchphrase. It was just a line in a script.
It's interesting to find out that some of these are very inorganic, where no one's A, asking his name, or B, it's... Have you ever introduced yourself to someone and then asked for their introduction and just started it by going, Mr., like...
No, but I think I may start doing that. That's pretty good.
I think, you know, it's such a...
Yeah, it's weird. Such a pimp to get that line out. The setups for him are sometimes pretty unwieldy. But it's also interesting that it doesn't happen in From Rush with Love. And then it happens in Goldfinger, which you get the sense like, oh, let's do that again. But then they kind of drop it for a while. And with Moore, they really bring it back as a trademark. Because it's in every film.
That's a great question for Daniel Craig, or for even for Dalton and I guess who's left, Lazenby, just to sort of go like, what, how are you selling that in your head? How are you not? Is it the hardest line you've ever done?
Brosnan talks about it in Everything or Nothing, that documentary, and he talks about the weight, and I really feel for him when he's saying like, there is so much to live up to and you can't oversell it. How do you do it? You just have to go. Doesn't he say something like, okay, here I go, kind of like you're diving into a cold pool? I mean, how else do you handle it?
That's,
and I wonder how many takes they give each actor the first time, because I would imagine each actor's be like, I need like 10 just to warm up, 20 to get it right, and 30 to oversell it so we can walk it back, you know.
Do you think, I wonder of all the actors who have taken the mantle, who had the most takes? Who fucked the lines up the most?
And I want to see the strangest takes. Like, because you know they'd try variations on them. My name is Bond. James Bond? My name is Bond. James Bond.
James. My name is Bond. James Bond?
You know what? An honorable mention is in the Ali G show when he's as Ali G trying to make a spy movie, and he's talking about James Bond, or I think he's playing him in the movie, but he does the quote and he goes, "My name is James. James Bond." And it's really funny.
I can't wait till we're doing that. Imagine we have to get to that. We have to get to the Ali G sketch where he's making a spy movie.
Like, I love
we've done so many of these episodes that we've done Johnny English 2 twice. All right, Matt.
All right, next is Goldfinger.
Correct. Let's hear it, shall we?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Bond. James Bond.
I mean, it's very quick. The music's coming in a little bit.
It's on the balcony. He's in his powder blue play suit. They did the right thing in this, in that they kind of toss it off a little. You know, he's not looking at her. He's kind of like occupied with what's going on with Goldfinger down on the pool deck.
Well, wouldn't you be? You got to know what's going on with this guy. How is he always winning at these cards? Luck's got to change.
And he still has such a smooth delivery, Bond, James Bond.
It's going
to be tough to beat in a lot of these.
We should have mentioned when we did our what was the podcast we did about actors, odd casting choices?
Yeah.
I feel like we should have mentioned the guy playing cards with Goldfinger, because he's got a very memorable sort of like...
Oh, yeah. He's just kind of like a dentist.
Yeah, he's a very memorable Miami dentist, if that makes any sense to anyone, which I bet it doesn't. Does it?
It does. It does for me, sure.
Matt, thank you so much for being in this journey with me.
You're certainly welcome.
Oh, dear. Let's hear now. This is going to be from a little film called... this is kind of out of order, right?
Well, they're going in order of the films. So. Yeah. Chronologically. So now we go to Lazenby, but do you want to skip ahead to Diamonds Are Forever? So we just do all of Connery's.
Okay, let's get Connery in the way. All right, Here we go. See, here's the problem with scrubbing through on a... Oh, I got it. Guys, I'm on my... Here's this... just let me explain the situation to everybody at home.
Yeah.
I'm on my iPad playing this whilst recording this over the computer and trying to get like the audio and everything all synced up together. It's a bear. Here we go. Diamonds are forever.
Who are you?
My name is Bond. James Bond.
As we all know, that one is not enjoyable.
It's a little phoned in. The jazz music is interesting underneath the kind of jazzy score.
There's a jazzy... What is that? Just a, like a... It's like a trumpet with a mute on it?
Yeah, I think so. And he's... What is he wearing? Like a terry
cloth? He's wearing a terry cloth safari shirt.
Like beige, right?
Yeah, like a beige terry cloth safari shirt with very pointy chest pockets.
Yeah.
And this is the debut of the wig. What do you think? This is a wig you purport to enjoy, right? You think this one's good?
I do think this one's good because I think it works in the salt and pepper, so it looks a little more real than You Only Live Twice and Thunderball, which are just real shells, brown, like steady brown shells that don't really work.
Because
as you know, there's hard to find evidence for this either way, but I'm pretty convinced that in Dr. No and From Russia with Love, he's maybe just wearing something on the back, that's his natural hairline in front. But when you get to Goldfinger, it starts going full wig. And then by the time you get to this one, at least it's a little curlier and grayer, so it looks a little more real to me.
So you're thinking he has the Ted Danson going on?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. The Sam Malone.
Yeah. That's right.
Do you remember that? Do you remember the reveal when he reveals it to Carla that he has he's wearing a piece?
Yeah, I remember that was big talk around town, you know, and that was pre-internet, and that was going around junior high. Yeah.
Come on. And then he finally reveals it to Carla in season 11 of Cheers.
Oh, wow.
And what a moment it is for everybody. Let's ask, what do you think is going on with Ted Danson's hair now? Do you think he got plugs eventually?
I think so, because it looks amazing.
It looks great. Silver fox.
You can get plugs in the back and have it look natural if your front naturally looks good. But plugs in the front, you can tell because there's more hairs coming out of one follicle. You know what I mean? Like they're little fountain follicles of hair in a fountain.
Is that how it works?
Yeah. They probably have more expensive ways to do it now. But traditionally, the plug thing is they put more than one hair in every follicle.
Interesting.
And they're very regularly spaced, so it's almost like a grid.
Oh, well,
and
everyone just
too perfect.
For the record, everyone, I say it every time on every podcast I've ever done. I've said it at least once, but when I can afford them, I'm getting hair plugs.
Are you really?
Oh, fuck
yeah. Your hair looks great.
No, my hair's fine now from the front. It's good, but like it's very thin up there. I don't know. I do have a head. I have a decent head of hair now. But I'm just trying to get to it, Matt, before it becomes a real problem. You know?
Oh, really? I'm going gracefully because my hair's thin. And you know what? I'm just going to ride it out.
Your hair's thin, but long and silky. You know? You've got great hair. You've got great hair.
Thank you. I don't think so.
You've got some silky hair, buddy.
Well,
you've
really
also got one of the best
hair.
Beards in the business. And you shaved it, and now you're growing it back somehow. I'm very confused, Matt.
Well,
What is your beard strategy?
I don't have one. I have a lack of strategy. You've got a great beard. Are you kidding?
Listen, this beard is just, it's sculpted. I went with the Riker, and I've gone with it now. I've had it for a bunch of years. Although, you know, every so often in the summer, I'll take the whole thing off.
You should do a Drax.
Oh, now we're talking.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I should do a Drax. You know, we've been talking about doing a 35th birthday for Matt Myra that is James Bond themed.
We should.
That would be this summer. And, you know, if we're cosplaying, maybe I'd do a Drax.
Yeah. I'm going to go as it's in Spectre, Blofeld's little right-hand man. With the glasses.
Oh, my God.
The most boring costume possible.
Should I put out a thing? If we have this party, I'm wondering if I should just be like, please no James Bonds or supervillains. I want peripheral only.
Yeah. Third level. Right.
If you're curious about whether or not this person counts, please send me an email and I will get back to you.
That's good.
Okay, so if we're doing all the Connerys, we're going to have to now skip ahead. I am going to allow the Never Say Never Again Bond James Bond in.
Fair enough.
Do you think yeah, that's allowed?
I think that's right, because he is missing three of his films, don't have them anyway, so he needs the assist.
Okay, so here we go, everybody. This is Kim Basinger, if you remember correctly, is playing an arcade game. So let's dive in. Oh, wait, I have the volume down a little bit, so I'm just going to pop back over here, and then I'm going to put the volume up. Oh. It could go better if I had more skill at running multiple things with
my
hands.
It's Sunday morning. I think the people are with us, and we appreciate your patience, and Matt, we appreciate your service.
I think that these people get what they pay for.
That's right. That's right.
Hello again. I do owe you an explanation. My name is Bond, James Bond.
It's very like I'm applying for a job, or like I'm from the water board.
My name is Bond, James Bond, and I'd like to be your chauffeur.
Yeah. Boy, I mean, if we're ranking by actor, obviously Dr. No's first. For me, Goldfinger second. And I'm torn between Diamonds Are Forever and Never Say Never Again, because they're both pretty unremarkable. But I think I'd put this one last.
Because the sound
of the arcade behind it does not.
But that's
do
an element that I. Here's the. I think they should have, honestly, I think they should have made more of a fanfare about the Diamonds Are Forever Bond James Bond. You know, because it was like to have him back after that, after Honor Majesty's Secret Service, I think is like, it's a get, you know, it's a big deal. So right. I think when you bring him back in for this Bond, James Bond, I think I don't want jazz trumpet.
Yeah, I'm with you. I
want like, throw him in a tuxedo. Don't put him in like the worst shirt.
And same thing for Never Say Never Again. He's in a tux.
He's in a tuxedo.
But it's just so tossed off. Like, there's a good way to toss these off and a bad way to toss these off. And these last two were badly tossed off.
Do you think that he... I wonder how many takes of that he did.
Oh, I think we're looking at the only take of each.
So you think in Never Say Never Again, he was like, I'm doing one take of everything.
Yeah, Kirshner's just brilliant. That's it. Don't do it again. You'll spoil it.
You have a great Kirshner impersonation.
Thank you very much. I've been working on drama. You've got to put drama. Show them. Don't tell them.
Could you tell me a little bit about your disagreements with George Lucas?
Absolutely. Now, we were filming in London, England, and all of the actors were high. Carrie comes in, and she's been hanging out with the Rolling Stones all night. She's high as the Rocky Mountains, right? Then Harrison comes in. Harry, we called him. He was high himself. He was always high. Carrie would come in after a bender and be high, but Ford was always high. Now, Mark, he was a good kid, but he was always at my heels, nipping at me about something to do with the character. And I just, let's get it done. Look at the big picture. I've got to get these wampas in here and shoot this scene where the wampas take over.
The wampas. So anyway. You were going to do a whole scene. Hang on. You were going to do a whole scene, sir, where the wampas took over?
Oh, there's footage of it. It exists. They take over Echo Base on Hoth. But we had to cut it because they just didn't look right. They were all bad, long arms played by men. So he says, let's get to the chase. Get Luke to the swamp planet and he can meet the goblin boy.
Now, you famously, of course, had John Ratzenberger in there.
That's right. I was a huge fan of Cheers, and I had to get that in there. He's my he's sort of my Clint Howard, if you will.
So John Ratzenberger is your Clint Howard, and John Ratzenberger also functions as that for Pixar movies. So really...
That's right. He's a treasure. He's a conservative treasure.
He's a treasure. He's a Trump-supporting treasure.
Absolutely. That's right. That's right.
All right, Irving. Thanks so much for stopping by the James Bonding Podcast.
You bet. I'll be at WonderCon in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they've convinced me to dress up in a Boba Fett costume, and I'm going to have Yoder, the Goblin Man, and on stage to do a Q&A. All right? So check me out there. I'll be there next week. And even though I have since passed, I will be there as a force ghost.
How much will it cost for an autograph and a photo?
I'm doing them in trade, and so I get your autograph and you get mine. And my thinking is, there's bound to be some future celebrity in the crowd.
Okay,
all those
so then
nerds,
you'll return
go on to make things.
In a few decades, you'll then return as a force ghost to sell your wares.
That's right. I'll open up a little booth at Comic-Con in San Diego.
Oh, Mr. Kirshner, thank you so much. Enjoy
You're more
heaven.
Than welcome. Yep, you bet. Bye now. I'm sorry, I didn't mention it, but I had to go pee.
Yeah, Matt, you missed Irving Kirshner. He stopped by.
What?
Yeah, he's actually. Hold on to your butt here. He's going to be appearing at a convention in Tulsa.
Oh my God! I thought he was dead.
No, he is. But he's going to be there as a force ghost.
Oh, that seems like an appointment.
Big
convention.
Big Q&A. Big Q&A with the Green Goblin Man.
Wow.
And also, anytime you want his autograph, all you have to do is sign something for him.
Great. Okay. I love it.
So, lots of fun. We're just about to hit Roger Moore. This is from the movie where his skin looked the best. This is Live and Let Die.
Solitaire.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
Well, I mean, there you
good.
Go.
That's pretty
great.
Good.
That's
He's so
good.
Friendly. Where Connery's are smooth, his are affable and truly like I'm happy to meet you. It is introduction.
How can you not be happy to meet Jane Seymour?
Yeah,
come
that's
on.
True.
Come on.
And that music placed in there is really good.
That's a good placement of the music. That's sort of, I think, that what the Diamonds Are Forever Bond, James Bond lacked.
Right. Yeah, you may
now,
be right.
Here's how I feel right now, man. I feel bad. We skipped over George Lazenby.
Oh, geez, you're right.
So I'm gonna pump the brakes, and I'm gonna go back, and we're gonna see Mr. George Lazenby, who you got one shot. Let's hear it.
Good morning. My name's Bond, James Bond.
He says good morning.
I know. This one
it's
has never
good.
Really worked for me, and I think part of it isn't his fault. I don't sense that he believes it. I'm feeling like, as an actor, he's very aware of what he's doing, but I also think because this was shot on the beach, everything had to be ADR'd, so there's a natural disconnect.
Yeah. It's also, he's the wettest person ever to deliver that dialogue.
You don't want ADR on these moments. You want it to be the actual delivery because the subtlety really matters, and there's not a lot of subtlety in this one, even though it's a casual delivery.
Oh, and then like the whole idea of like going in and having to dub that, like
I know
it's the nervousness times four, right?
Right.
I mean, you got to sit there and like try to match your own fucking mouth, and
yeah, it's just more opportunity to get it wrong.
That's right. They set him up for failure. Have we decided that?
Maybe.
They didn't set him up for failure. They gave him the best script with the great director.
Yeah, they gave him.
The movie
and
came out
second
great.
Second chance. They gave him a chance to move on, and he didn't take it.
He set himself up for failure.
He did.
Support for today's show comes from Zipa. That's Happy Z spelled backwards. It's more than a snoring device, guys. It's got a patented tongue strap that's designed to eliminate snoring with two key features. Zipa is an American-made boil-and-bite mouthguard that is a game-changer in the bedroom. What does that mean? It means you're not gonna snore anymore. And snoring devices usually have one feature. They either advance the lower jaw or stabilize the tongue, and Zipa does both. It's like Q-Branch designed this thing. It's like a breathing device that fits in your pocket that you can use to stop Thunderball.
That's right. Operation Thunderball. Guys, it costs less than $100 and sits Zipa custom molds to your mouth. It's super comfortable. It's been cleared by the FDA. It's safe and effective. And if you aren't happy with the product, guess what? You have 90 days and you can return it for a full refund. It's no surprise Zipa has 5-star customer service that strives to maintain the highest reviews and ratings. Guys, Zipa is great. It arrived to my house. The instructions were detailed and very easy to use. Heat up the device, then I bite into it, then it's molded to my teeth. It's amazing. It's like it was custom fit for me, but I just did it at my house. And then, guess what? The snoring stops. After a night or two of getting used to it, it was silent sailing from there on. It was like I was sleeping like a stealth boat from Tomorrow Never Dies. The greatest James Bond movie ever made. And I can say these things because Matt Gourley is not with me right now. You know, it is actually the greatest thing ever made. It's Zipa, guys. You should get it. Try it. Z-Y-P-P-A-H. It's happy Z's every night. For the sake and the sake of other people sleeping near you. Just go to Zipa, that's Z-Y-P-P-A-H.com to learn more and use the code BONDING for free shipping. That's ZYPPAH.com, code bonding. Hey guys, if you're a fan of our show or improv comedy in general, Big Grande's podcast, Teacher's Lounge, is back for season 6, and it's available exclusively on Stitcher Premium. Teacher's Lounge is a behind-the-scenes look at a fictional Hamilton High School. It's told by 4 of the honor department's teachers, played by UCP's Big Grande Improv Group. What often makes a comedy podcast special is its skill in constructing a fully realized world, and Teacher's Lounge pulls it off with remarkable flair. Join Big Grande and other special guests from the greater Hamilton High community to discuss hard-hitting issues facing today's high schoolers only on Stitcher Premium. And you can go to StitcherPremium.com/teacher and use the promo code BOND and get yourself a free month of Stitcher Premium. And you know what? If you don't feel like typing in BOND, you can use the code ADVENTURE. Trust me, that also works. Or was it excellent? Oh, my wife says it was excellent. Don't use ADVENTURE. Just use BOND. Whatever. Use BOND or ADVENTURE or excellent. ADVENTURE's not going to work, but the other two will. Stitcher Premium. Guys, this is what happens when I'm left to my own devices to make these ads. They get out of hand real fast. Here's the show, I think. No, I know it is, actually. The show's coming back. Here it is. James Bonding Podcast. All right. Roger Moore, let's pop back in there.
James Bond.
That was the end of the solitaire one again, but just so we can go back to talking about that. But he, for someone to come in now and truly fill in for Sean Connery while still delivering it in a different way, but a believable way, and in a way that you recognize. There's a lot of nuance that goes into Roger Moore's performance.
That's true.
That I think we don't give enough credit to.
And I think, having watched these a few times this morning, with the exception of A View to a Kill, all of them are truly friendly introductions. Like he's
yes.
your new insurance representative, and how can I help you? Like, he's paid to be there or something. And that's a smart move on his part, because he really does go to charm as opposed to
well, it's also like, where does it come in? Yeah. Where does it come in the script, too, with him? He gets to do it before the stakes are really there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Do you think it helps in some of these that they're moving? Like, in this one, it works because he's kind of walking through the room. Same with Goldfinger, though I would say it doesn't really work in Diamonds Forever. But there's something about him moving in this one. I don't know.
You sort of buy it more because there's an absent-mindedness to the introduction.
Yeah.
You know, because you're like looking around and you're like, Bond, James Bond. Yeah, and it does do that. It does. It's a less sort of believable situation when you're sitting there delivering that dialogue straight on in a quiet room.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
and I don't think enough is said about Moore's like elegance, even as a mover. He's, you know, he's not always the most believable action fighter, but when he's moving through this room, It's enchanting. I don't know what it is.
Well, I mean, it's a beautiful set. And, you know, he's yet to take the mantle of Roger Moore action fighter.
That's right. That's true.
By the way, I would write that comic book in a second.
I would. Up till this point, he was only Roger Moore ladder dropper in Harlem.
Right. Okay, so this is now The Man with the Golden Gun, where he's introducing himself to the belly dancer who has the golden bullet in her belly button.
Good evening. My name is Bond. James Bond.
Now, this one, the audio does not do it justice. It's the look on his face.
Oh, he's so thrilled to be there. He's so happy.
I gotta watch that one, because
please do. If you're at home and you'd like to watch it again, that video is called Best of : My Name is Bond, James Bond! !
He comes in with this big smile that is just he looks great in this one too. I mean, he looks like a Kennedy.
I think the idea of him being the friendliest one is so right. It's so succinctly descriptive of Roger Moore as James Bond.
Yeah.
I think you've done a great job there, man.
Yeah.
I'm really proud of you for figuring that out.
Yeah.
This next one is from The Spy Who Loved Me. Now, this is his first time doing it in a tuxedo, everybody. So think about that when you're hearing his performance.
And seated and stationary.
Yeah. So this is not walking, looking at things. Here he goes. Ready?
Galba, my name is Bond. James Bond.
Pretty standard.
Yeah, this is at the bottom of all of the list for all the Moores, because it's just so unremarkable in every way. It's not bad. It's just very uneventful. I don't know. There's nothing special about it.
But at least he already knows that guy's name.
That's true. That's
so
true.
That's he's one step ahead of the game there.
You're right.
Now, this is from Moonraker. And for me, this is very close to the top for
really?
Roger Moore.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I like this one. Here we go.
Good afternoon.
Can I help you?
Yes, my name is Bond. James Bond.
And I'll tell you why, Matt. If you go back and you watch that, it's like he's got a little secret for her, and he's delighted to reveal his first name.
Because
of the way that it's shot. The way it's shot, it's over the shoulder, so you don't see him when he says, my name is Bond. Uh-huh. And then he leans into James Bond in a way that's like, would you believe it? My name is James Bond.
Yeah. That one throws me a little, because I feel like she's very self-conscious. It almost seems like maybe this is one of the first scenes.
Well, she's got a lot to think about, because she's not only is she a scientist, but she's also working for the CIA, and she has to conceal that.
I guess, but as an actress, she's just awkwardly holding her clipboard, and I feel the tension as an actress that takes me out of it a little bit.
I think she's pretending to be a CIA agent who is acting.
Okay.
I like to give people so much credit.
That's fair.
For unintentional things. Did you watch it?
Yeah. That lean in is almost imperceptible, but it is really important. It is the perfect punctuation. There's a little boop. He might as well put his hand on the tip of her nose and go boop.
Yeah. It also, we might as well get like a little a dimple and a tiny chime hit.
Ding. Yes.
That's how charming that is. Okay,
that's
so
true.
The For Your Eyes Only is next, and this one happens. This is the first one we see in a car.
I like this one.
Okay, here we go.
Hey, we haven't been properly introduced, Melina. My name is Bond. James Bond.
Now, here's what I don't like about this. The car is clearly shifting. You're hearing the car change gears up.
Oh, wow.
And yet his hand is out to shake her hand. He's not changing gears.
I never.
So if that Citroen is an automatic transmission, please let me know. But I have a great feeling that it is not an automatic transmission.
You're probably right. However, he is so affable And he puts me at ease. Like, they have just gone through a lot of drama. And he's so... The way he's looking at her is priceless. I just feel like it's comforting. And who would not fall in love with this man? He's a charm ball.
He's genuinely... I wish I got to know him. You know, I wish I knew him in that. I wish I was around in 1971 to become friends with Roger Moore. And by friends, I mean to have him be like my big brother.
Yeah, and play cards and backgammon with him. And yeah, by like poolside. That would be
amazing. Love it. Like, I would love it if he was charged with entertaining me for a weekend and played mini golf with me.
Oh, God. That'd be amazing. Amazing.
Who would be the worst James Bond to play miniature golf with?
Well, my default would be to say Connery, but I don't think that's the case because he loves golf. So at least he'd feel like maybe he's having a good time.
I think he'd enjoy himself.
I mean, it might be Daniel Craig.
I agree.
Because I don't think he'd want to be there.
I agree. I don't think he'd want to be there at all.
I mean, I would love it, but I don't think he would.
Do you have an answer as to who everyone at home would be the worst James Bond to play mini golf with? If you do, and you have a great reason for that, please email us. What is our email address? I'd like to plug that because we're not getting a ton of emails lately.
Probably because they know we don't answer.
But
I think S does. She gives us updates. Yeah.
Yes.
Bond James Bonding at gmail.com? I don't know.
Matt, I'm going to find out right now.
I am too.
It is jamesbonding@gmail.com. You can email us right there. And we are going to be doing it. We got to do another mailbag episode.
Yeah.
I like them. And quite frankly, I hope you do too. So that being said, we will now move on to Octopussy. Octopussy.
Octopussy.
Here we go. This one also takes place in a casino.
Hmm.
Then why don't you take over the major's position? Mr. Bond. James Bond.
I like this one. He's so good at these.
I like that one, too, because he's moving to sit down, and he's been asked his name.
Yeah.
He's not forcing his name on anyone.
I think we're going to find at the end of this that Connery has the best one. But Moore has the
Roy
most
Moore.
Consistent.
Oh, no.
Rory Moore has the most consistency of them all. Like, he's great.
I am excited to reveal the next one to you, Matt, because it involves, quite frankly, the largest prop ever in the history of James Bond movies. That's, of course, a fire truck.
Oh, yeah. yes.
Wait a minute. This is James Stock of the London Financial Times.
Well, actually, Captain, I'm with the British Secret Service. The name is Bond. James Bond.
Is he?
Are you?
Yes.
Is he? Are you? Yes.
This one's interesting because it's not like a one-to-one line. It's actually part of a plot point, which you don't often get.
Apparently never. We have yet to get it.
That's right.
But it's the movie is great. And by great I mean it's a James Bonding podcast Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
But this is the first time there are three people exchanging dialogue. Usually he delivers it to one human being.
Right. Right.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
And also like I love how ridiculous that. I like the way that scene is played for its ridiculousness.
Mm-hmm.
This is so and so of the London, actually of a British Secret Service. Like, I love the cop's reaction to go, is he?
Do you have a ranking of these Moores?
Well, you know, here's how I feel about it. I think that his best is his first.
I agree.
I think Live and Let Die is the best of those.
He's great. And, yeah.
And the way that I would tumble that down, I would go the Live and Let Die one. I would then put the For Your Eyes Only one as number two.
Mm.
I would then slide Moonraker in there for the for the dimply funness of that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have your Man with the Golden Gun,
mm-hmm.
your Octopussy,
mm-hmm.
Your View to a Kill, and Your Spy Who Loved Me.
That's not too far off from mine. I'm going to go Live and Let Die as your number one. It's top.
Mm-hmm.
Man with the Golden Gun, because I just love the way he comes through that door. For Your Eyes Only, Drive Me Around Anytime, Rory Moore. Number four would be Octopussy. I just like that the stakes are a little high. He's meeting the villain there. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Moonraker, A View to a Kill. And yeah, The Spy Who Loved Me is pretty unremarkable as these things go.
Yeah. Well, the next one involves another prop. We're into prop comedy time here. And this is a 1980s cordless telephone on a yacht. So everyone get ready.
Yes. She'll call you back.
Who are you?
Bond, James Bond.
Let me say, I really appreciate what they're doing here. And I know, because I've heard Dalton say this in interviews, that he actively wanted to throw this away and make it a not big deal and like the opposite of what it's been. That being said, it is so obviously done that way. It's almost jarring, you know, like it's just
right.
I think he might also be ADR'd there possibly too, because it's hard to get good sound at sea. But he looks so good. That uniform he's in, whatever that is, his SAS uniform.
Yeah, his SAS.
So good.
Oh, do you know what's funny / not funny? I don't know. There's a Call of Duty map, you know, where you play, you know, your team deathmatch or whatever. Gibraltar. And it's kind of great because, like, some of it is like, oh, yeah, that's totally in License to Kill.
Oh, nice.
I mean,
so what do you think of it?
I like it for the because there's okay. So not only do you have him taking this woman's phone, right? But you have him choosing to lay down to make the call.
I know that is interesting.
Like,
yeah, wait a minute.
So
he lounges on his side.
This,
yeah, that's
where
interesting.
I'm just like, wait a second, why are we?
Right.
Allowing this to happen. And so for that, I think it's all right. But he is like really just, I don't know.
Yeah, I appreciate what they're doing, but the execution, I think, is a little lacking or something.
I do like the phone, though.
Yeah, so, I think I had one of
that.
Those. We don't have License to Kill on here, do we? Because he gets cut off on that. It's when he's meeting Sanchez in his office in Isthmus City. But it's not quite a full James Bond, James Bond. So we'll just let that be what it is.
And so it is written, we let it be what it is.
That's right.
Well, to the Church of James Bonding, here we go. This is now, we're heading into Pierce Brosnan territory, everybody. Mm-hmm. Well, there's Dalton.
Thank you, mister.
My name's Bond.
My phone dinged at the same time that happened, which actually I think helped the moment.
Yeah. Will you play that one again?
Of course I will. Who are
they
we
really
kidding here?
Oh, let's see.
I this is good because he's in a casino. He's in a tuxedo. He gets like, I think they really accept. I feel like Dalton got short shrift. Dalton and, Lazenby get short shrift here with this whole like introductory Bond James Bond. Do you know what I'm saying?
Because they didn't set it up well enough, you mean, or what?
They didn't like have the they didn't have all the parts in place.
Mm-hmm.
Like they didn't have a tie on. They didn't have the suaveness, because Lazenby's soaking wet in a white shirt and Dalton has parachuted in and stolen a telephone. So they're not like set up with like, you're in a tuxedo, you're in a very nice suit, you're walking in.
Wait, Dalton's, I mean, oh, right. It's like everyone is a direct opposite response to the one before it, the Bond before it.
Yeah.
So Connery's smooth but a little dangerous. Moore is friendly. Although Lazenby is very friendly, but it's very casual. Like it's wet at the beach. Dalton is, my theory has got no grounding in reality.
Okay. Let's hear Brosnan's first one again. This is GoldenEye, Famke Janssen, followed by Pierce Brosnan. Bond.
Thank you, mister.
My name's Bond. James Bond.
Oh, come on.
You know, one's pretty good because he actually doesn't play this up. It is as straightforward as any of them get, and that's rare for a Brosnan movie, as we're going to find as we go on. This one is just real right down the middle, but pretty solid.
Yeah. He's also in a tuxedo, so yeah. Points already. Great. They're in a casino. Great. More points. So far, I do like the first one of everybody. Let's hear what happens, Matt, when you go meet someone named Elliot Carver.
Oh.
Who might have a plan to have exclusive broadcast rights in all of China for 100 years. Here we go.
Yes.
This is the new banker, Mr.
Bond. James Bond.
Matt. Now, come on.
I'm going to surprise you a little bit. I think this one's really good.
What? This is the only thing you like from this movie.
Yeah, I mean, the Dolly Inn is nice.
Yes.
His delivery's nice. I feel he's a little more confident in this one than GoldenEye because he knows he's got the job.
Yeah.
He survived a movie and he just underplays it. I'm surprised to see that Brosnan kind of underplays these first two a little bit. It's a refreshing thing for him, I think.
Well, you heard him. He put a lot of thought into the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like maybe too much thought?
Maybe, but it seems to be playing well.
Okay, so this now is going to be from The World Is Not Enough, and this is happening at the church that was just saved by Electra King, by them rerouting the pipeline. Oh, boy. Sometimes I have it muted, sometimes I don't have it muted, and that was one of the times when I had it muted. Now I'm turning up the volume, and here we go.
Told me she was sending someone, Mister
Bond, James Bond.
It's again pretty straightforward, but don't let that fool you because what's coming next in the same film is really something.
Okay, so you know sometimes there's two in a movie, and this is one of those times. So buckle up, everybody. That was him opposite Sophie Marceau, and now here he is opposite Denise Richards. Here we go.
Sir, you're a British spy. Do you have a name?
My name's Bond. James Bond.
Well, I don't know what more we can say about that, but I guess if you're going to do it, you know what I mean? They go for it.
You're in the Brosnan era. He's earned a little credit because he's underplayed them to this point. So it's like he's got a little room to play. I think for the Brosnan films, and this film especially, I'm a fan of this.
You are?
Yeah.
I think it's just so dumb.
So dumb that I love it. Like, this is View to a Kill level self-awareness, you know, that I like.
It's inherently the stupidest thing we've ever seen.
Yeah, I like it.
The whole idea, I mean, we went over this in the World's Not Enough episode, so I won't go into it too much, but just the whole idea that that's the moment she would ask his name, just crazy to me. It's crazy to me.
I know. It's bonkers. It's so forced in. It's so ridiculous.
Oh, it's insane. So now let's talk about Die Another Day. Here we are. Guess what, everybody? I had it muted one more time. This is a three people in a scene situation.
Yeah.
So that's something. What is his name? Gustav Graves.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Bond.
James Bond.
I like the quietness of it. No music, just a little fencing. You just hear a little fencing.
Yeah. Matt,
this is sign language for fencing now.
That's good. You're doing the little up and down shame fingers. I watch this every time you play it. I watch it with the volume off, and that was the only one I've been able to do where the sound was perfectly synced.
Yes. Yes.
It's crazy that Brosnan has five. Four of them are nicely underplayed, and one, it just goes out of the stratosphere.
One, he is playing to Mars.
Yeah.
He's projecting. That's so funny.
All right, rank them.
So funny, so wonderfully perfect. You know what? Honestly, here's my ranking of these. I'm going to give the Die Another Day Bond, James Bond, the number one spot.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I like that one.
Yeah.
I also like how Brosnan has aged.
Yeah, I do too.
I think he really aged into it, and I think he earned himself at least one more movie, and I'm sad he didn't get it, but you know, if it gave us Casino Royale, so be it.
Yeah.
And then my number two for him is going to actually have to be the GoldenEye one, because mm-hmm. it's so classic. Number three is Tomorrow Never Dies. Number four is the first World Is Not Enough. And number five is the last World Is Not Enough.
The
flying away one. Now, if I'm entirely honest with myself and the listeners of this podcast, number one is Flying Away.
So why not make it that way?
I don't know. It just is so, like, the whole situation is so ridiculous. But I think in many ways it's so representative of the mm-hmm. Pierce Brosnan era.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna.
Matt, you would find you are in good company.
I'm gonna bump it. I'm gonna
my
bump
number
it up.
One is the stratosphere flying. The world is not enough. I mean, they went for it. Boy, did they go for it! You got to give them some credit for that.
Number
two is Tomorrow Never Dies. I like that dolly in. It's a low angle. Mm-hmm. It looks pretty cool. Number three, GoldenEye, just solid. Number four, Die Another Day, underplayed. And then I think that second, The World Is Not Enough, is pretty, just a little boring, maybe.
The one with Elektra.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, guys, now we're going to get into a little bit of the fun zone here.
Wait a minute. Do you think that they underplayed the one with Elektra because they know that, like, the audience is like, wow, they kind of underplayed that, and it was a trick to go, like, wait till you see what you get in about 20 minutes.
It's so of that movie. It's so, like, of the 20-minute boat chase, you know? It's, like, just, like, it's over the top, but not as over the top as Die Another Day.
Yeah, yeah. Somehow it's not cartoony. It's just crazy.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's so many problematic moments in his movies.
I know.
So now we're going to jump into Daniel Craig era, and it looks like the first one we're going to see is from Skyfall here, Matt.
Yeah, because this video is saving the Casino Royale one from the end, but just before you play it, I'm on this as well, and the shot of him at the casino table in Skyfall is so beautiful. The colors, man, that looks good.
Red and gold, buddy. Red and gold. The luckiest colors there are.
Mm.
Who doesn't appreciate the occasional twists, Mr.
Bond? James Bond.
I mean, come on.
Wow.
He's delivering that with, like, a real, just a smoothness. That's the smoothest one.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really thinking about it right now. It's very smooth.
You never think about what the other person is going through. Like, that actress, Berenice Lim, I think is her name.
Yeah.
Or Marlo. She must see the script at some point and go, holy shit, I'm the person that he says Bond James Bond to. Like, there's some pressure on the receiving end as well.
Oh, for sure. You also have to make it, you know, like I was saying earlier, where you have to introduce yourself to someone and just go, Mister? Yeah. Like,
you have
okay,
to tee up the most memorable line in film history.
Yeah,
that's
it's
no
almost,
easy task.
It's almost like being the person that says to Arnold Schwarzenegger, where are you going? And then he says, I'll be back.
Yeah. Or is it's a tumor.
Kindergarten Cop, Detective John Kimball. Boy, oh boy. Don't wait too long for our podcast Schwarzeneggering. I would make that podcast in
Kindergarten
1 second.
Copping.
The cop you idiot. Okay. Here we go, everybody. This is it. I'll play this one because it's first anyway. But this is the this is the Casino Royale. Here we go.
Hello?
Mr. White, we need to talk.
Who is this?
Love that. And then you get him struggling on a gravelly, beautiful Italian waterfront property.
I'm always thrown that you can see his knee pads under his pants. I got knee dar. Pad dar.
The name's Bond. James Bond.
I mean...
Oh, God.
I mean...
That tiny little smirk he gives out to the delivery.
It's all we wanted in the movie. And, like, they give it to us at the end. Like,
I think next to Connery, that is the most confident one there is.
It's so...
Connery had the benefit of not having to live up to anything. He had the most to live up to because of all that went before him. And all the pressure he was feeling about people revolting that he can't be Bond. And yet he delivers that. Good God.
All right, now let's hear The Spectre with Monica Bellucci. Here we go.
I can tell you that I don't trust you.
Well, then you have impeccable instincts.
If you don't leave now, we'll die together.
I can think of worse ways to go.
Then... You're obviously crazy, Mr.
Bond. James Bond.
Mister. She does it. She says Mister. With an inquisitive Mister.
That's the sexiest one there's ever been, right? I mean, there's never even been one that's been like...
You talk about completing a task.
What?
You talk about completing a task in between saying Bond, James Bond. There you go.
But boy, that writing before that is a little well written, isn't it? I mean, when I wasn't watching it, I was just listening, and it does feel overwritten, a little too clever or something. I don't know.
But that goes away when you're watching their performances. Yeah, it's Monica Bellucci and Daniel Craig staring at each other.
Yeah, his delivery on that line is solid, though. His three... He's maybe the most consistent, even though he's had less. But isn't there two, Inspector? Didn't we remember that there's one somewhere else? I forget.
Oh, we were talking about there being one at the
clinic,
the spa?
Or whatever? Something
clinic,
like that.
The clinic you're going to?
I thought maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know.
I think there is, because I think we talked about it with Amanda Maria. I could be wrong.
Did you ever watch the Daniel Craig sketch on Colbert?
I think so, yeah.
I don't know that I have. I was wondering if it's any good. Anyway.
Let's rank these Craigs.
Let's rank the Craigs. Great. Here. Easy. This is an easy ranking, Matt.
Uh-huh.
I have to say, and I hope you're okay with this, but Casino Royale, number one. Mm-hmm. Number two, Monica Bellucci.
Mm.
Number three, Skyfall. Number four, we can't quite remember.
Right, right. I think I go Casino Royale, Skyfall, Spectre, but they're all good.
Oh. Yeah, the Skyfall one is fucking gorgeous. Like, okay. It's beautifully shot.
Why don't we pick our top three and our bottom three?
Okay. This is pretty easy. Okay, the top three for me. Are Sean Connery in Dr. No. Do I have to go one from each, or can I pick multiple from one person?
Well, we've... Oh, yeah. You just the three best overall.
I think Sean... Yeah, Connery from Dr. No. Live and Let Die, Roger Moore. And Casino Royale, Daniel Craig. Boy,
I think that's mine, too. I was considering The World Is Not Enough instead of Live and Let Die because it's so bonkers. But I think you're right. I got to go Casino Royale. Yeah, Dr. No, Casino Royale, Live and Let Die. Those are solid.
Look at that.
Yeah.
I think we did it. I think we somehow agreed with each other on everything.
Yeah, and there's no need to pick out the worst ones because there are no bad ones.
Well, listen. There are some wooden ones. There are some... Okay, here you go. Here are the worst ones. You ready?
Yeah.
Diamonds Are Forever.
Yeah. Spy Who Loved Me.
Yeah, Diamonds Are Forever, Spy Who Loved Me, and Tim Dalton. Sorry, Timmy.
Yeah, they're just... Well, that one's awkward, but the other... I don't love Lazenby's either. They're either boring or awkward is the reason, but they're not horrible. They're just not quite as effective as those other ones. But man, watching those makes me fall in love with the series all over again.
And it's a series that keeps on going, everybody. We are gonna be back. What is our next movie, Matt? I forget again.
It's For Your Eyes Only.
Oh my god, we're gonna see that moment in the car. Yeah. We're gonna figure out, is this Citroen a stick shift? Is it an automatic transmission? What's going on in there? How beautiful can you be underwater? We're gonna find out all these things
and next more week. When James Bonding
will return. Does return? When
either
James
way.
Bonding does return.
James Bonding Podcast. James Bonding Podcast. James Bonding Podcast. James Bonding Podcast.
Matt and James Bonding Podcast. Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the Improv Fantasy Podcast, Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. 8 nights.
Rachel Bloom.
You want to see my collection of men corpses and one woman?
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.